Well, if you have a Bible, could you open it at Revelation chapter 3? And I want to look with you at verses 14 to the end of the chapter. This will probably be the last time I preach to you, certainly for a long time, unless there's any emergencies before we move north. And maybe when you get a new pastor, they'll invite me back one day, but maybe not. So this is my last time to preach to you. And so when I finished in August, we went through the last words of Jesus, or some of the last things Jesus said between his resurrection and his ascension. But these are not the last words of Jesus, because in Scripture we have Jesus speaking in the book of Revelation. And we have much of what Jesus says there. And so the whole of Revelation is a revelation from Jesus Christ to John, where he shows him what should take place. But one of the things that Jesus does in the book of Revelation is he tells John to write a letter to each of the seven churches in Asia. And today we're looking at the last of these churches. And I want to say to you that if you've come into New City Church or Dunfermline Free Church for the first time today, you've come amongst a group of pretty awful Christians. They're not the best people in the world. In fact, they're like their pastor. Let's put it like that. That some of them are bitter in their spirits. Some of them are relying on themselves. Some of themselves call themselves Christians, but they haven't opened their Bible in a week. Some of them don't give money to the Lord. Some of them are only keeping everything for themselves. Some of them struggle to say the Lord's Prayer when it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." They're not the best people in the world. And they're like every Christian everywhere else. They have issues and difficulties that they bring into life. But Jesus has something to say. And Jesus has something to say to them that is, first of all, a warning. And we should hear the warning from Jesus. But what Jesus has to say is also some of the sweetest words these people will ever hear. Some of the sweetest words you hear are in this section that we're going to look at. So Jesus comes to these people, and although he makes these accusations, I don't think I ever hear Jesus speaking in a Northern Irish accent unless I'm reading the letters to the seven churches, when he says, "I know where you live," or he says, "I know your deeds." He does know our deeds, and he knows who we are. He knows what we are like. He is the truth. He is the Amen. He is God's word to us in this. We cannot argue when he pinpoints who we are. Some of you are watching The Apprentice, and when it all goes wrong, Lord Sugar says, "Who is responsible for the failure of this task? Who is responsible for a church becoming like this? Who is responsible?" And he sometimes doesn't know. He should have watched the program, we can all tell. But he doesn't know who to blame. Jesus knows exactly what we are like. So I want us to imagine that we are the worst church ever, okay? We are the worst church ever. What will we be like? Well, we could take some of the things that are wrong with all the churches. To the church in Ephesus, "I know that you tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but have not." He knows that they've tolerated wicked men. He knows too that these people are sometimes listening to the false teachers. You listen to the false teachers, and some of them are caught up in sexual immorality. Some of them are tolerating false words. One church seems to be doing okay. Another church is about to die. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. And then you got to Philadelphia and it seems to be doing okay. And then you come to this church in Laodicea and it's the biggest problem that there is here. What is the problem? They are not hot or cold. Who says, "Let's go and have a lukewarm shower"? Anybody say that? No, you have a cold shower or you have a hot shower. Let's have a lukewarm cup of tea. No, you don't want that. You don't want lukewarm. Lukewarm isn't good. And in Laodicea, it was thought that they had springs, and the springs would either be fresh, cold, or nice and warm, nice and hot. And they weren't good at either points. And so these people knew what was happening here. So what are lukewarm Christians like, neither hot nor cold? Well, we go to church today? Maybe. Is there something better to do? Maybe. Shall we give our money to the Lord's cause? Do we have to? What about reading and praying and praising? But I'm not too bothered about that. Maybe once a week, but actually, I hate it. I don't have to sing anywhere else any other time, and if I did, I would choose to sing other things. Church is a social activity. It's where we come together and we're with our friends. We're nice, welcoming people. Well, what's lukewarmness like? It's half-hearted. It's half-hearted. It's on the verge. It's that struggle to come back to worship with God's people after COVID because, God's so nice not having to do it. It's all of these things. It's relying on ourselves instead of relying on Him. And how does Jesus treat us like that? I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's a bit derogatory, isn't it? That Jesus would say that to a church, but that's what he says. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Well, why? What's wrong with us? Tell us what's wrong with us. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked. Well, the cost of living crisis has hurt us a little bit, hasn't it? But we're quite good at saying we've got all that we need. Fiona and I, we have that horrible discussion at Christmas time. Shall we get each other a present? Nah, we've got everything we need. And it's pretty true. And then, because I'm a generous guy, I guilt trip her into getting me something. But anyway, we say we've got enough. And we look around us and it's enough. And it's all we want. We have this sort of thing. And to this city that was described as the Zurich of the time. It was the financial capital. They're rich. It's where all the money is. He says, you're poor. That you have nothing. This place that had its healing properties, pitiful. This place where they made eye ointment, you're blind. This place which had this great black wool that was very expensive and luxurious, you're naked. You've not got all that you need. And so Jesus says to them, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Come and get from me what I can give you so that you can become rich. And what, instead of black wool, you can have white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Come to Jesus, he says, come to me. Come to Jesus. So you have pictures of Jesus in the gospel putting mud in someone's eyes and taking away their blindness. You have pictures of Jesus who will give people this white clothes. The book of Revelation, Jesus covers his people in white to show that he has washed them. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. That Jesus gives them something. So come and get from Jesus what you need, so that you can become rich, so that you can have everything you need. And one of the issues we have in our life is that, well, we're having to always manage the finances because we need to be sure that we have enough, because if we don't look after us, then who will? Have you ever said that? If I don't look after myself, who's going to look after me? God's going to look after you. Is this news to you, Christian? That God has everything you need forever? It's not news. But still, we grapple with it all the time. Lord, help me. I need to make sure that I have everything I need. So what is going to change us? Well, what Jesus comes and says is, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And we need it as God's people to hear this word that Jesus will come and give us a row sometimes. And why would he do that? Well, you've said it to your kids if you have kids. I'm only doing this because I love you. And they would say to you, well, we prefer you did it a different way, please, Dad. We prefer you do it. And you might want to say to Jesus, I prefer you didn't treat me like you're treating me. Please treat me nicer than that. But Jesus, because he loves, he rebukes and he disciplines. So, New City Church guests, is it fair to say about your Christian life at all that you are lukewarm? Is there any aspect of your Christian faith that is lukewarm? Put your hand up. No, don't put your hand up. But if you struggle to read the Bible this week, if you forgot to pray, if your money is more important for you than it is for God, if you refuse to speak up for Jesus at school, at work, wherever it is you go, is there anybody here that's lukewarm? Okay, me, I am. I am. I'm not giving him everything that he is worthy of. I'm shutting him out from different parts of my life because I am not perfect, and neither are you. What should we do? Okay, let's listen to the words of Jesus. So be earnest and repent. Be earnest, be honest, be truthful, be zealous, and turn round. Turn round. Why? Why would I turn round and do the right thing? Because what's happening now? Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. This verse is often used as the invitation verse for anybody who's not a Christian to open the door of your heart and let Jesus in. Will you open the door of your heart and let Jesus in? But you don't need this verse to do it, because he says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He even says to those of us who are children, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. Because you've got to come to Jesus. And he says, whoever wants to drink the water that he gives, that they can, he offers himself to you. And the reason I'm telling you that this comes like that is because this verse is not really supposed to be that initial gospel invitation for anybody that's never heard the good news of Jesus before. This verse is for lukewarm Christians. That's who Jesus is speaking to here. For people who are neither hot nor cold. For people who he's about to spit out of his mouth and let go of if they don't change their ways. So be earnest and repent. He's standing at the door. The one who came to this earth, the one who lived this perfect life, the one who did not sin, the one who was betrayed by a friend, the one who was hung on a cross and who died in agony, the one laid in the tomb, and the one who rose again, the one who has ascended, is now knocking, and he's saying, let me come in. Let me come into your life. So I think some of you might need to hear this word. Let Jesus back in. Let Jesus back in. Because shutting him out will not be good for you. Shutting him out will not be good at all. So let him back in. Let him back in and let him be the best friend you ever had, because that's what he wants to be. Can anybody tell me the most memorable TV dinner you've ever had? No, you can't, because TV dinners are rubbish. They're fish fingers and soggy chips and stuff like that. Tell me the best meal you ever had. Well, what makes that special? What really makes it special is usually the people you have it with, isn't it? The friends that were around your dinner table, or the people that invited you to their house. The laugh that you had, the joy that there was, the sorrow that you shared. As you live together, Jesus did a lot around food. And Jesus wants to do a lot around food with you again today. He wants to come in and he wants to eat with you. and you to eat with him. He wants to be your friend. Can you imagine going to your wife, if you're married, or your husband, and saying, I'm not sure I love you anymore. Or it's worse than that, I'm not sure you love me. And actually, I can tell that you're not that hot on me anymore because you've distanced yourself from me. At best, you're lukewarm. And if it keeps going like this, it's going to break. But this is what I want to do. I want to come back into this marriage, and I want to love you, and I want to spend time with you. And if you look, I've already given myself up for you, and I will give myself up for you again because I love you. I don't want to break this. Does anybody need to hear that that's what Jesus is saying? As you are broken in your relationship to him, or you're thinking, I'm not sure I love him anymore, he's saying, I love you so much. I love you so much. And all I want is for this relationship to be restored so that we can be at fellowship with each other. But we notice that this is not just a message to one person. It's a message to the whole church. And if I get to say some last words to you, what is going to make this church the best church in the world? Who needs to be in it? You don't need the best pastor. You don't need the best band. You don't need the best programs. You don't need the best mission strategy or the best logo. If anybody can find better, well done. But you don't need all these things. What you need is what you can have, and that is the presence of the Lord Jesus in your fellowship. And I think that's what will make this church the sweetest church in the world. If Jesus is here and he knocks and he says, can I come in? Can I come in? And we say, yes, come in. Come in. Because if he comes in, then good is going to happen. What's going to happen? Well, here's the last word. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. If you let Jesus in, if you keep Jesus in your life, if Jesus isn't in your life and has never been in your life, I plead with you, bring Jesus in. He has come to you. He was given himself for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to save you from your sin, to be your God, to put his Holy Spirit in you. He wants to be your shepherd who will look after you, who will be with you all the days of your life and forevermore. This is what Jesus wants to be if you let him in. And if you let him back in, having cut him out or shut him out, then he wants to be with you forever. Why do you want me, Jesus? Why does he want you? So you can sit beside me. It's like primary school children. I want to sit beside him. I want to sit beside her. And Jesus says, I want them to sit beside me. I want them to be with me forever. And how is that going to happen? How is it going to happen? Only if you let Jesus in. Let him into your life. Let him rule your life. Let him be your God. Let him be your God forever and forever. Finish with the words of Jesus and hear the words of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to Jesus tell you he loves you. He who has an ear, let him hear.